Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
I got a fever and the only prescription is more Patrick Madrid. Come on.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back and thanks for listening. 888-914-9149 is the number. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. We'll get to your calls in just a moment. Cyrus, first thing in the morning, bright and early, I watched the latest Father Rocky Lenten lesson. Did you see yours yet this morning?
I sure did. First thing I do, before I even look at your emails, I'm checking out Father Rocky's Lenten lesson.
Well, that's probably as it should be. They're great, and they started yesterday, Ash Wednesday, but it's not too late to sign up for yours. If you go to relevantradio.com/Lent, you can sign up. Just tell us what email you'd like them sent to, and they will come to your email box every day during Lent, all the way up to Easter. And each one is a brief, and by brief, I mean typically about 2 minutes long, kind of a video tutorial on some discrete part of the Mass. This morning's happened to be about genuflecting. Why do we genuflect? What does genuflection mean exactly? Where did that word come from, and why do we do it? So that is yours for the taking, absolutely free. So just go to relevantradio.com/Lent, and you can sign up. It's not too late. Speaking of Russian oligarch, Cyrus, I just kind of like the way that just rolls off the tongue. Russian oligarch. And you notice that the term oligarch is typically never used outside of any connection with Russians. You don't really hear about Mexican oligarchs very often, do you?
Now that you mention it, I had never thought of it before, but you might be onto something.
What about all the Indiana oligarchs? You typically don't hear about that, do you? Russian oligarch. It's almost like it's synonymous. So here's the Wall Street Journal. It's got a story about this kid. His name is Jack Sweeney, 19. And he's made himself a pest of Elon Musk, if not the most wealthy man in the world, certainly in the top three. He owns Tesla and the Boring Company and, you know, all these other companies. And so he made it his business by using a Twitter bot to track Elon Musk's movements in his private jet. So this has gone all the way up the flagpole to the Wall Street Journal. They have an article about it, and you should check it out because this kid now is expanding beyond Elon Musk. Elon Musk offered him a wad of cash to stop doing that.
That's awesome. You know, leave me alone.
Yeah, get away from me, kid. You bother me. Little WC
Fields. This kid looks like he's 15.
Yeah, Jack Sweeney. He's made a name for himself. And so I think that Elon Musk, he handed him a $50,000 bill to go away and just stop doing this. And he wouldn't do it. He's still doing it. And as the Wall Street Journal reports, Mr. Sweeney said he has made new Twitter bots. So at RU Oligarch Jets and at Putin Jet over the weekend. He says, even before the war started, people were saying to me, oh, you should track Putin. Once the Russian attacks began, he got messages from his online followers urging him to focus on the country's oligarchs and began researching the names and plane tail numbers of the Russian elite, too. So that's how he can track them, is with the registered plane tail number. He's a freshman at the University of Central Florida, and it's his hobby to follow private aircraft of billionaire entrepreneurs. I mean, most kids are into Call of Duty.
Yeah, Fortnite.
Fortnite, frisbee golf, swimming,
and hacky sack.
Do they even have those anymore?
I don't know. I'm trying to think.
I haven't seen those in forever.
What do we do in college?
So anyway, the kid, he's sharp. I mean, you got to give it to him. He's sharp, and he figured out a way to track the jets. He uses the tail number. His hobby has garnered national attention after he said that Mr. Musk personally reached out to him, asking that he shut down Elon Jet. So that's his Twitter bot, at Elon Jet, which publicly shares the movements. I love this. It publicly shares the movements of of Elon Musk's plane. So he can't make like a beer run in his plane. He can't even make a beer run in his private jet without this kid knowing about it and publishing it on Twitter. The account has, well, actually the new account, RU Oligarch Jets, now has 175,000 followers as of Tuesday afternoon. He just started it a few days ago. Mr. Sweeney's bot follows planes owned by Roman Abramovich, the oligarch owner of England's popular Chelsea Football Club, and a variety of other Russian oligarchs. And he's not, you know, he's not backing down. His account tracks the movements of roughly 40 planes and helicopters linked to Russian oligarchs.
This kid entertains you.
He does. This is funny. And they can't stop him. I mean, if somebody handed you a $50,000 bill, Cyrus, to tell you to get off Twitter, or at least just take one account off Twitter, I'm guessing you would take it.
Yeah. Bye.
Yeah. Well, bye. That's kind of what it would amount to. So, I mean, Elon Musk has bigger problems. Oh, now this is somber and serious. This is a tombstone-related story. So I want to share this with you, Cyrus. And this is part of what's going on with the supply chain problems. And you may say, how does this tie in with Tombstone? No, not that Tombstone.
What?
That's a good Tombstone, but we're not talking about that Tombstone. Although I do like that song. Actual tombstones.
If I thought you were my friend, I just don't think I could bear it.
You're a daisy if you do. Anyway.
It appears we must redefine the nature of our association.
All right, let's try to be serious. One morning in December, a crew of eight men unloaded 8,400 pounds of granite from Rock of Ages Quarry in Vermont from a flatbed truck in the Bronx. The seven slabs were 14 by 5 feet and 8 inches thick. By the end of the week, workers at Monuments and Mausoleums, a company in the Bronx, it's a 40,000 square foot facility. They would split them into smaller pieces using a 10-foot tall contraption called the guillotine. When the guillotine power slices through each slab with 300 tons of pressure, it's like an SUV hitting a brick wall. Each mini slab is chiseled, polished, stacked, tagged, and finally stenciled and sandblasted with the commemoration of the deceased. Now, the problem is, they are way, way, way backordered. This gets into the whole supply chain problem. The owner of this particular company says, we probably have over 800 orders. It's so depressing. We don't even count the orders anymore. He says that they wouldn't be able to complete all of the orders until the end of the year, explaining that the demand had been up by 30 to 40% over the past 2 years. So not only in terms of, you know, the higher death rate, but also supply chain problems, labor shortages, and other factors that have kicked in mean that if a loved one dies, you're not going to be able to get a headstone in some places of the country for quite a long time. And he says that the stenciling, you know, that they have to do before they start the chiseling to make the letters, 3M, the 3M company, announced that it could no longer make the spools of rubber-based adhesive stencil that can withstand the force of sandblasting. And that's something that all these monument companies rely upon. 3M attributed this decision to severely constrained raw material availability, exponentially increasing costs and strategic business focus. And so the owner of another monuments company says the main problem was the rubber stencil because you can't do anything without that. So if you can't get that, you can't do the chiseling, in which case you can't provide the monument for somebody's grave. Isn't it weird how all these things are sort of cascading, and the things that you once took for granted and never really gave any thought to, now it's so difficult to find. True story, Cyrus. One of my sons, he has a Ford, and Ford is, I guess, recalling a variety of their models because there's a ignition control module. It's an electronic chip, basically, inside of a box. And that's what regulates things like not only the ignition, but also the transmission and other things. And that just needs to be popped out and replaced with a new one. In the Ford dealership, Pay attention, Cyrus. Look at this. The Ford dealership told him, so his car is basically a rock right now. It won't run because this little piece is defective. And they told him that it's a minimum 6 months to a year before the Ford dealership can get the part in.
What? Are they giving him a, not a rental, but like a temporary replacement
a lot of
car?
Them are, well, a lot of them are giving rental cars. Yeah, a lot of dealerships are doing that. So we're sort of in the throes of this right now. But just a simple part, 6 months to a year to get that part, to fix that car. And there's a thriving cottage industry of workshops around the country where if you send the part in, they can repair it for you and send it back to you. But it will be minimum 1 to 2 months before you get it back because they're so backed up. This whole supply chain thing is just beyond crazy, and it's affecting everything. So there it is.
Isn't that a daisy?
888-914-9149. How about Teresa in Los Angeles? Hi, Teresa.
Good morning. God bless you, Relevant Radio and listeners.
Thank you.
Yes. About 3 years ago, you suggested joining Toastmasters. Well, I'm 80, and I did it. And I'm having fun there, and it's good for the brain. In the meantime, Friday, actually tomorrow, I'm doing a speech, and I really want to and need to use your grandson's bingo bango, you know.
Yes. Are you
so
seeking permission?
To do that.
You got it. You've got my permissions. I can speak for my grandson. His name is Patrick. He's a strapping lad of 14. He'll be 15 later this year, a star wrestler at his school. And he's the one who, from the time he was a kid, he would say, bingo, bango. And I used to say that. I still do say it from time to time, but that's his trademark line, bingo, bango. And I think I can speak for him and authorize you to make use of it in your Toastmasters speech.
Praise
congratulations
the Lord, and
to you.
Thank you. Also, around the same time, somebody had called in about the pennies, and I got it at the last end, so I didn't really get the whole gist of it. But that New Year's, my sister was taken to the emergency room, and when I went to see where she was and how she was, there was a shiny penny on the water fountain. And just looking at In God We Trust, I really needed it that day because my car died, besides everything else that was going on. And also, there was, I think it was last year or so, there was a young boy named Emmanuel, and he called you and asked about a mission that he could do. Well, that's a great mission to do, putting shiny pennies on water fountains and sharing them. And that's what my speech is about, by the way.
Oh, well, you know what? Do me a favor, Teresa, if you're so inclined. After you've given your speech, if you'd like to send it to me, I'd love to read it.
Terrific. Terrific. Yes, I think you will find it very interesting. Thank
sure
you so
I will.
Much, and God bless you.
Thank you, Teresa. Bingo, bango. That's awesome. See, Cyrus, isn't it amazing what Relevant Radio does in the lives of everyday people?
Bingo, bango.
I love it. Yeah, bingo, bango. How about, how about Vicky in Cherry Hill, New Jersey? Good morning, Vicky.
Hi, good morning. It's my first time listening to your show, so welcome to me. the first thing that you were speaking about is, of course, the big issue with pro-choice, pro-life. I'm pro-choice. I'm a Catholic, but I believe, the rights of my body to do what I want with it. And you had brought up that vaccines, you were putting like those things in the same category, and I think you can't. And each situation that comes up needs to be addressed differently with different guidelines. So,
are you referring to my comment about my body, my choice?
No. Where you had said about if you want to use that, yeah. But I don't think that applies to every situation. It can't because everything is
okay,
different.
Let's apply it to abortion. Would that be a true statement for you with regard to abortion? My body, my choice?
Not just straight up, I'm pregnant, now I want an abortion. I'm pregnant, I want an abortion. No, of course not. That's not what I'm talking. I'm talking about a woman who's in trouble.
Mm-hmm. In trouble in what way? Like in trouble with the law?
Maybe she's having a bad pregnancy. Okay. You know, I think a danger to the mother and to the baby. That's where I say, you know, with everything, it can't just be black or white. And like the same thing you said with vaccines, like, you know, you went on with Biden. I'm not pro Biden. I was definitely anti-Trump, but, okay. So, you know, when you played a clip or something where he, you know, you want him to just come out and act Catholic because he has, you know, ashes on his head. That's between him and God.
Well, but he's making a public spectacle out of the fact that he's wearing ashes. He's doing it for effect. And he's also telling the reporters what he gave up for Lent. I mean, he's the one who's making a kind of a public deal about his Catholic faith. So,
right.
I mean,
and my thought,
is he wrong to do so?
Not everyone is Catholic. So not everyone knows, you know, as people say, what are you giving up? It's much deeper than that when you're a Catholic.
I know, and I don't need to be instructed on that. But, I mean, it was the president himself who brought it up in the first place. He was the one who made a point about his Catholic faith, as he's done any number of times before.
Right.
So, I mean, do you object to him talking about his Catholic faith or touting his Catholic faith?
No.
Okay. Well, then, given that, Vicky, then why would you object to somebody asking him, if you're a Catholic, why don't you also follow the church's teaching on abortion? And the church's teaching is that abortion is always and everywhere wrong, that it's intrinsically evil because it's always the intentional taking of an innocent human life.
And I think as he responded was, he's not going to get into a big debate right then.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I say the same thing because you don't get people to just change their mind in 20 seconds, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I respect that he, you know, was honorable with his answer, at least saying, you know, what he said.
It seemed to me more like a cop-out, like he didn't know what to say. So he just said, well, I'm not going to have a debate on that. I think he would lose that debate very quickly, a theological debate. But you notice he followed it up by saying, I'm not making decisions for other people. I'm not going to make decisions for other people. And I don't know if you heard that part of my conversation earlier today, but I brought up what seems to me to be a great, some people might call it hypocrisy, on the one hand, insisting that other people take a vaccine that some of them didn't want, and saying, in those cases, my body, my choice. And he said, no, you have to do it because it affects other people. And yet he says that he doesn't want to make decisions when it comes to abortion, even though it affects other people, namely the unborn child who is killed. So it's inconsistent, if you ask me.
And like I said, each situation that comes up, I think, needs to be addressed differently with different guidelines.
Why?
I didn't want to take any vaccines. My husband didn't want to take mm-hmm. vaccines. But, you know, you have to do it. Because he's in the public, he's with other people. I'm not saying that a life is not important. That mm-hmm. is not my point at all. I love children.
So to take the vaccine in order to protect the lives of other people, would that be a fair
premise?
You take
the vaccine to protect yourself and other people.
Okay. So if you take the vaccine because you're saying, I want to protect other people, I don't want to, you know, give it to them, even though we know that you can give it to other people, even if you've been vaccinated.
Right. Whether you're vaccinated or not, that's happened here.
Right. Yeah.
So my
point is that if you're and there are many people for whom this is their reason for taking the vaccine, they want to protect other people. Well, if we apply mm-hmm. the same logic in the case of a woman who's pregnant, what about the other person who's inside her? I mean, that's a separate person with separate DNA. And an entirely separate body who is being nurtured in her body. That's the nature of motherhood. So if it's important to protect other people by taking the vaccine, and if the president can interfere with your life and tell you, it doesn't matter what you want, I insist that you put this into your body, whether you want it there or not, which is in essence what he did with his mandates, then applying that same logic in the case of another person who's being hurt, you know, or killed in this case, it's really the same kind of thing. And I don't see why we would need to have some different standard when it's the same issue of bodily autonomy and harm to another person. It seems really clear to me.
Well, like I said, I'm not anti-life at all. But, you know,
are you okay with the death penalty?
Am I what?
Are you? I'm sorry. Or do you support the death penalty, Vicky?
No.
Why not?
No. Why not? Well, there's been a lot of cases where things have been proven differently.
You mean like innocent people being killed?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what about the innocent baby in the womb? That baby's done nothing wrong.
No, I didn't say the baby did. I'm saying.
Right. So why should we be open, or at least, you know, okay with the idea of putting that person to death who's innocent, and at the same time be against the death penalty? And I am too, but to be against the death penalty because innocent people sometimes are executed, I find that a very compelling argument. So why would we opt in favor of the person who's on death row and say his life is worth saving, so let's not have the death penalty, but the unborn baby in the womb, his life is not worth saving?
Nope, I'm not saying that 100%. Like, okay. Each situation is going to be different. Like I said in the beginning, I don't think, you know, you get pregnant, oh, I don't want to have an abortion, I'm pregnant. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there should be guidelines for this stuff. I don't think everything can be black and white. Like, you're either,
how about,
you do this.
Real quick,
know,
if I may.
That's a lot of things in life. Go ahead.
Do you mind holding over the break, Vicky? I'd love to keep talking with you, but I have to take a break. Do you mind?
Yeah, no, not
okay.
at all.
Okay, great. I'm enjoying our conversation. Thanks for the call, okay. And I'll come right back to you right after this. You're listening to The Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Have a question? Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. Let's all say a little prayer. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I've been talking for a little bit with Vicky in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Vicky, thank you for holding on over the break. I appreciate that. And
sure,
for those
no problem.
For those who might be tuning in and didn't hear any of our previous conversation, you had mentioned, and correct me if I misstate anything, but you had mentioned that you are Catholic and you're also pro-choice, and we were discussing, how did you put it, things are not black and white, but we have to have a different set of guidelines.
Guidelines.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so my question that we were discussing before had to do with the COVID shot and the mandate and people being told that they had to put something into their own body, even if they didn't want it. And how I see a parallel between that and, actually it's sort of like the reverse parallel, because it seems like people who insist upon vaccinations so that you can avoid harming other people, they don't follow that same logic when it comes to abortion, in which you have another separate person inside the woman's body. That's the baby. Separate DNA, separate body. And that person always gets harmed. That person always dies in an abortion. So help me out here. I don't understand the logic of why we would say, in the case of the vaccine, you must take the vaccine to help other people. But in the case of abortion, you have the right to insist on your own bodily autonomy at the expense of another person. Do you see the? Do you see what appears to me to be an illogical aspect there?
And I'm sure there. In fact, I know of people that are told to do one thing and they do not do it. So, you know, and I understand how you want to compare the two because they represent what we do to our body. So I understand why you're putting the two. But again, I go with the abortion issue. I think there's guidelines that can be met with the vaccine. If people don't want to do it, I don't know if are they truly losing their jobs over not getting a vaccine, or are they offered something else to do? That I'm not very familiar with.
I can tell you, just on that point, that there are thousands of military personnel who were forced to separate from the military because they didn't want to get vaccines, including very highly trained Navy SEALs and special operators of other branches. So that would be just one example. But can you help me here? Because I don't understand the logic. So if we can say, as the government has said, you must take this vaccine, you must put this in your body, and one of the primary reasons is so that you don't harm other people. How does that not apply in the case of, let's say, in a pregnancy, where saying, you know, this person who's inside you will be born in due time, don't kill him in the meantime, because that's another person. How are they different in your mind?
I don't know, except there's exceptions to things. So if you make things pro-life, then you're not making an exception. If you make it pro-choice, you can have exceptions put into that. Or if you know, that's what I don't understand, how things can be, you know, black or white. Mm-hmm. And not racial. It's just easier to say black or white.
I know.
So
what you mean.
Yeah, but I mean.
Do you think we should have exceptions for, say, slavery? Would there be situations where it would be okay for a white person to own a black person?
No, not.
Well,
no,
shouldn't there be exceptions?
I mean, why are we going back hundreds and hundreds of years?
Slavery exists now. I mean, there's all kinds of slavery around the world, but you know, in our own history, we know that it was a terrible thing, but. I mean, how would you handle somebody who said, well, we should have exceptions because, you know, there may be some situations where slavery could be okay? Or would you just reject that out of hand?
Well, I don't want to live under a dictatorship.
True.
You know,
nor do
that's
I.
That's basically what most things try to do, unless people create an uproar about it. And then things get looked at differently.
So in the case of slavery... Would you agree with me? This is my view. My view is that there's never, ever, under any circumstances, an exception where, under these circumstances, it would be okay for a white person to own a black person as a slave. Just zero exceptions. That's my view.
Right. But if you're talking about the United States and our culture... Yes, we can't. I'm not talking about around the world. I can't speak for around the world because they all live differently. I'm still not mm-hmm. saying it's right, but for those countries, it might be right. I'm talking
really? So to
states that we live in 2020. No.
So let's say in parts of the Middle East, in the Middle East, you know, where it's yeah. known that there are slavery is practiced. So.
Right.
I want to understand your perspective on this. So are you saying that it's only wrong, slavery is only wrong here because of our history and our laws, but that slavery, the same kind of slavery, would be okay in a different country if they had a different set of laws? Is that what you mean?
It's when we look at it, when I look at it, I say it's wrong. It's wrong all the time. Mm-hmm. It's wrong all the time. But if that's how they live... Okay, they go by their guidelines in their country. How can we can't step in and do that? Tell them it's wrong. You know, it's just like, I mean, for the different faiths around the world, you know. It's,
well, you know, we did that with Hitler because he thought it was great to round up Jews and kill them. And we said, that's wrong. We're going to fight you. Do you think we were wrong to fight Hitler over that issue? Because in his country, it was legal to do that.
No, but we shouldn't be running other countries with what we believe. That's why when we get on these wars all around the country, you know, all over, everywhere, we go there, I guess, to protect the PR people that are there. But it's like if somebody came here and said, you know, we're going to come live in your country, you know, as military, and you're going to change to what we want. Like, I don't understand that.
I think in the case of Hitler, it had a lot to do with the fact that Hitler was invading other countries, obviously. So he was attacking other countries. But as one of the centerpieces of his policy was that everything is the fault of the Jews. And therefore, the Jews have to be killed. They have to be eliminated. That's what was known as his final solution. And he acted upon that and killed, you know, many millions of people because he thought they were inferior. Let's take that same question and just apply it here at home. What about the KKK? You know, they hate black people, among others. Should we just let them go about their business and not bother with them, or should we oppose them, do you think?
Of course, oppose them. But as a group, can we enforce and tell them you can't do this anymore?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
we can outlaw cross burnings. We can outlaw lynchings.
Could be
we
done.
Have.
Right.
So their issue, Vicky, is racism. You know, they hate other people, in the case of black people, because of the color of their skin. Is there ever a situation, in your view, where that could be okay?
Not that I've come to in my little life, no. And when I see things that happen like that on the news and across the country, it sickens me that in this day and age, we're still at that mentality. So,
is there anything that you would say this is always and everywhere wrong and we should oppose it? Is there anything that somebody could do that would fit into that category for you?
On the spot right now, I can't think of anything.
Murder?
I don't know. I'm sorry?
Murder?
Again, do you have 100% proof of murder? You know, we're going back to like the death penalty thing. If there's 100%,
well, no, just murder as such, as a concept,
as a concept.
You know, murder taking the life of an innocent person.
I don't believe in that.
You don't believe in that murder is ever permissible?
You know what? It's hard to say.
So, what do you stand for? What do you stand for? I mean, I don't mean this in a flippant way. I don't mean to be disrespectful. But if it's not murder, if it's not racism, if it's not slavery, if it's not abortion, if there, you know, if those things could be okay under some circumstances, is there anything that somebody could do that we might call evil that you would say that's always wrong no matter what?
I don't have an answer right now. I'm on the spot. There's so many things that I could say, oh, that's wrong, and that's wrong, and that's wrong. But when you talk about slavery, no, we've gone through that. Murder, eye for an eye. No.
Is there anything anyone could do to you? God forbid. What about rape? Would there ever be a scenario where it would be okay for a man to rape a woman?
No.
Would you say that rape is always and everywhere wrong? I would, but I'm just curious what you would say.
Yeah, of course.
Well, why would it be wrong? And what about in a country where they don't have the same laws that we do?
And like I said, that if that's their country's laws, I personally don't like it that it's acceptable to them, or it happens, or it's not acceptable and happens. But it's not like it's not our problem, but we have to accept what other people do aren't in this country. Okay.
So rape. Okay, I want to make sure I understand. So I realize you don't like rape. I don't either. I oppose it. But are you saying that there are some circumstances where it is okay for a man to rape a woman?
No.
Oh, that's what I thought you were saying. If it's in another country with different laws, it would be okay over
there.
That doesn't.
As America, it's not our business. But we get into it and we try and change the way they want to do things.
But what about just rape as a concept? Just the whole idea, whether it happens on the moon?
No, of course.
Whether it happens on the moon or happens in, someplace here in the U.S., the very idea of a man raping a woman, are you saying that there are some...
everything.
Oh, I know that. I don't disagree with that. But what I'm saying is your view... I'm just trying to understand your view. Is your view that rape in some cases might be okay? Or is it always wrong?
It's always wrong. I think I've made that clear. It's always wrong, but we can only follow the rules that are made for us.
Okay, so in this country, would we agree, you and I, that we should have laws against rape, and when a man rapes a woman, he should be punished? He should be put in prison?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I agree with you.
Something should be done. It shouldn't just be passed over, which happens many times.
But why is that? I mean, is it just because it's something that you and collectively we don't like? Or is there something inherently wrong with rape that makes it in itself intrinsically evil? Or is it just something that we don't like and we've agreed to punish it?
I think it's not natural.
I agree. I think, just to share my own view, I think that rape is always and everywhere wrong. And I believe that there's never a scenario where you could say, not you personally, but where somebody could say, in this situation, it's okay for a man to rape a woman. So all I'm asking for, and maybe this might be a good place for us to say goodbye, only because I've got to take a break. I would love to talk to you for the next 3 hours if we had time, Vicky.
No.
And I hope you'll call me back. I really do. But I'll leave you with this thought, if I can. We can agree that rape is wrong. And I think we would agree if we had the time to parse it out, because it is violence against a woman. It is making use of her body. It objectifies her and forces her into a situation that she doesn't choose. And there's more to it, of course, but I think those are some of the salient points. My view is that the same thing, but even worse, takes place in an abortion. It objectifies the unborn, innocent human person in the womb. It uses violence, as the rapist does, to get that person out of the way. And it also is the intentional killing of an innocent human life. I don't believe any of us has the right to take an innocent human life. I just don't.
Mm-hmm.
So those are my cards on the table, Vicky, just so you know kind of more where I'm coming from. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad we had this conversation. I really am.
Yeah.
I hope you'll call me again.
I'm glad I found your program. I'm not the best with my words and expressing myself. But I just know what I feel in my heart, and I'm the kindest person. I'm understanding.
Do you think the unborn baby who's being murdered or who's being killed in the womb would feel that's kindness and understanding?
No, but again, what do you know about that baby in the womb that you're
just that he's innocent, just that he's a human being, and that he has a right to life? I know that much. Vicky, thank you. I can't begin to express my gratitude for your phone call today. Thank you. I hope you'll call me again, and please, by all means, please keep listening. I'll be right back. Let me ask you, can the Catholic Church have a future if we Catholics don't understand our past? Experience history the way it should be taught in a new free online class from Christendom College. Just go to principlesclasses.com/Madrid.
This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and relevantradio.com.
We are back now. What a great opportunity to dialogue with somebody. You heard the call. Hopefully you heard the call. If you didn't hear the call that I was just on. What was the lady's name again, Cyrus? I want to make sure I...
Oh, let me grab my notes here. Vicky. Yeah. Vicky, right. Thank you, Vicky, for listening and for calling in and being thoughtful and hopefully having an open mind.
Indeed. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Vicky. So a couple things came to the surface in this broader discussion. We talked about primarily the issue of abortion. Vicky said that she's Catholic and she's pro-choice. So we had a discussion kind of led into other parallel issues like slavery and rape and other things. But I thought it might be interesting to note that as thoughtful and as, you know, willing to have a conversation as Vicky is, there are plenty of people out there who are not at all that way when it comes to the issue of abortion. I want you to hear in her own words one of these people. Now, provide any background detail that I might be missing, Cyrus. I think this lady is a nurse, right? She works in a hospital.
This is a Planned Parenthood nurse. And this
nurse,
is,
okay.
This is an undercover. This is one of those undercover operations where she doesn't know she's being recorded, so she's being a little more honest than she would be if she knew she had a camera in her face.
Got it. So here's a nurse, works in an abortion clinic, and she, in an unguarded moment, she's explaining how she approaches this issue of abortion.
Yeah, and what do you do? So, okay, so someone like Vicky or someone that's pro-choice, they call it a fetus, or, you know, it's not a baby yet. It's not a human being until it's born. Well, what happens when an abortion goes wrong and the baby is born yeah. and you have a baby in your hands? What do they do? And what they do is disgusting.
What if it was, like, twitching or, like, something like that? Like...
The solution will make it stop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not going to be moving around in the jar.
Okay, the solution would make it, like...
Yeah, that's the whole purpose of the solution.
Okay. So, like, if it looked like it was, like breathing or something like that...
It'll automatically stop. It won't be able to.
It won't be... Okay. So I'm not even going to see it.
No.
So... Okay, so I mean, like, if that happens...
You're asleep, they take it out, and it goes into our lab where they do the stuff with the jar and cleaning and all that.
Okay, so
let's
what
pause
is
for
the solution?
A second.
It's just like...
Let's pause for a second. When she's referring to solution, she's referring to a saline solution, so a container of liquid. Sometimes formaldehyde, from what I understand, is also another liquid that might be in this situation. So when she says the solution will stop it, what she means is that she would submerge the baby in this container of liquid, of saline fluid, and drown the child. So if an abortion were attempted and the baby were born, then her technique for putting an end to this is to drown the now born baby in saline solution. So that's what she means by solution. Let's continue.
So what is the solution? It's just like... Something like toxic or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have to do that, like, to keep it clean and, you know, because by the time it gets to the lab, it still needs to be freshly, you know.
Yeah.
So they could weigh it, so it could be proper weight to make sure that everything came out of you. Like, there's no pieces left in you.
So, like, you'll make sure, like, I don't have to deal with it if it will die. Like,
you're done. You're done. Once you start this today, that's it. You're not going to see it. We're not going to show you your sonogram pictures. We're not going to, you know.
Yeah. All right. So I'm like, if I feel like I'm having like labor pain kind of thing.
Yeah. Call us.
Call you.
Yeah. We have an emergency line.
Like, what if it like pops out like at home? Yeah. Like.
If it comes out.
Yeah.
Then it comes out. Flush it.
Just like flush it.
Yeah, but you still have to come in.
Okay.
We have to make sure that everything came out. But we never had a situation like that.
Because if it's like, what if it's like on the floor? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, what would we do with it?
You're not going to be taking care of it.
That's what I'm saying.
No.
Like, you guys would come and, like...
if anything, you know, we'll tell you to put it in a bag or something or in somewhere and bring it to us. And then we have two-day procedures all the time.
You do. It's, like, pretty common. Like, even with me kind of stage. Yeah. Like, at this stage.
Like, every day.
Whatever happens at home, you know, like, don't call the hospital.
No. No. Call us.
Okay. Why? So why not call the hospital?
Because we started it first. The hospital won't take you. They won't touch you either because we started it. So whoever starts it has to finish it.
Lies.
All lies, yeah.
Lies.
Well, she's not lying, though, about what they will do. I mean, you know, they'll take care of it. You know, child isn't.
I meant about don't call the hospital. Don't call. And then she's like, oh, and we want to clean it. And then I think she like realized what she was saying. She's like, oh, because we weigh it and make sure we got all its parts out of
this. This is a child who's partially dismembered, who is still alive after emerging from the birth canal. All right, horrendous stuff. Now, do we have time to play a little bit of Dr. Anthony Levitino responding to the question, is it ever necessary, medically speaking, for an abortion to take place to save the life of the mother? Do we have time for that?
Yeah, let's get into it really quick.
Okay, let's do it.
We hear all the time how abortion, including especially late-term abortion, is necessary to save women's lives. Nothing could be further from the truth. I spent 9 years working at a tertiary medical center. I mean, there are only certain hospitals in the country that are designated to take care of the really, really high-risk pregnancies. You don't want to duplicate the effort. It's expensive. So these hospitals get referrals from the surrounding area. And Albany Medical Center in Albany, New York, where I worked, was one of them. I was faculty at the hospital for 9 years. And I saw hundreds of cases of really severe pregnancy complications, cancers, heart disease, intractable diabetes, out of control, toxemia, pregnancy, out of control. And I saved, in those 9 years, I saved hundreds of women from life-threatening pregnancies. And I did that by delivering them, by ending their pregnancy by delivery, either induction of labor or cesarean section.
Delivering the baby.
Delivering the baby. And I always tell people, in all of those years, the number of babies that I was obligated to deliberately kill in the process was zero, none. And I'll give you an example. The key point about late-term abortion that so many people miss is that it takes days to prepare the cervix. This is not a natural situation by any stretch. If you're going to dilate a cervix sufficiently, that starts off essentially as a pinpoint, large enough to dismember or tear apart a baby this big, that cervix has to be dilated, and that can take anywhere from 24 to 72 hours. And especially when you're talking about later term pregnancies. Most life-threatening situations, the vast, vast majority of life-threatening situations in pregnancy are not going to arise until 24, 25, 26 weeks of pregnancy and higher. And when you're talking about that, you're talking about abortion procedures that take 2 and 3 days to prepare the cervix. And I'll give you a classic example. This is a real case. Lady came to the hospital at 27 weeks of pregnancy with severe toxemia. Her blood pressure, you know, a normal blood pressure is about 120 over 80. Her blood pressure was 220 over 160. Okay, this lady would literally be minutes or hours away from a stroke. What do you do in a situation like that? We stabilized her, brought her back, did a cesarean section, had her delivered within an hour of arriving at the hospital. She and her baby did just fine.
This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. I will be right back with plenty more right after this.